talking with Tom Bias from Growth Energy. Tom, let's talk a little bit about the continued struggle to bring E15 fully to the marketplace. Are you feeling pretty good about where we are right now?
Well, you know, Ron, it's been 3 years and 2 months since we filed the E15 waiver, and it seems like the longest marathon high hurdle race ever devised by anyone, because every time you think you're rounding the corner, more hurdles are erected. But we finally cleared in the past couple of weeks a couple of the final federal regulatory hurdles, and now it's up to the marketplace, up to retailers to offer the fuel, up to consumers to buy it. And obviously most of our focus is aimed at helping retailers get the fuel, urging them to put it out into the marketplace, because number one, it'll be cheaper to consumers. Number two, it's a better performing fuel. It's higher octane. So once you get that out there, then hopefully the market forces will take over, because it is voluntary. Nobody's forced to buy it. Nobody's forced to use it. Nobody's forced to sell it. And the second thing we're doing is we're working real hard advocating and urging consumers of the benefits of E15 with our partnership with NASCAR, and the fact that, you know, they've spent 2 million miles in the most competitive, hardest proving ground out there at 10,000 RPM, showing no engine wear, no engine failure, higher horsepower, and no fuel loss or fuel mileage loss. So part of it's a two-track. Again, we have to educate the public.
When it comes to where we are with corn versus the cellulosic ethanol, I know that is a concern within the industry, and it seems like that we're still struggling to figure out how to do this cellulosic stuff.
Well, we are, but you have to put it in perspective. The RFS2, which created the cellulosic mandate, passed in late 2007, immediately followed by the worst economic downturn in our lifetime, if not ever, not just here in the United States, but worldwide. So lenders, investors went to the sidelines. Just now starting to see the economy improve and that starting to thaw on lending and investing. Just this past several months, we've seen four companies announce that they were breaking ground on producing cellulose and should be up and running in 2013. And until that happens, you're not just going to create an industry. But a couple of key factors are still out there. One, having a market. That's why E15 is so important. And I know livestock and poultry guys all cry about E15, how we got to stop it. Actually, what E15 does is spurs the investment and the efficiencies into next-generation biofuels. Grain-based ethanol is capped out. We can't get any bigger. We're already producing just about the maximum that we're allowed under the law anytime. So you want to see that move forward. The Farm Bill Energy Title of 2008, the current Farm Bill, actually was all about next-generation biofuels. It wasn't about current generation. And unfortunately, the chairman's mark and the ranking member's mark doesn't include funding for these programs to incentivize it into the future. But that's important, because you got 1 billion tons of biomass that's wasted every year in this country that can be converted to energy. And, you know, no one knows which company is going to crack the code. It ain't going to be cracked until they get started, and you want to incentivize that industry and get it moving. We gave up all of our tax credits. Voluntarily, the industry came together and said, we don't need them. We don't have a tariff. We're ready for the free market. We're still waiting for oil and gas, by the way, to give up their tax credits. So we got a level playing field. All we want is access to the marketplace so consumers can make the choice themselves.
I know that there's still a lot of, at least a segment of consumers that are very skeptical about ethanol, period. And I know that one of the reasons for your organization was to help get people past that particular deal. I don't know if Oklahoma is the ground zero for the darn stuff or not, but we see more signs at that's service stations in our state of ethanol-free than anywhere else I go.
Yeah, and it's perpetuated by those who industries who don't want to see our industry succeed because of their own vested interest in oil, primarily foreign-sourced oil. And they have told a lot of misinformation, told some outright lies. Food versus fuel was the biggest lie I've ever heard in Washington. And as you might imagine, in the past 25 years, I've heard some whoppers. And, you know, we still see some of this stuff. Ethanol takes more energy to produce than you gain. And that's not true. Our return is 2.2 energy units for each energy unit used to produce it. Gasoline is 1-to-1. We still hear criticisms about water use. We use less water to produce ethanol than they use to make gasoline. All those criticisms are based on maybe the way the industry was 30 years ago, but it's not based on fact. And on the food versus fuel stuff, everyone said, oh my gosh, the sky's going to fall, you're going to run out of corn. We've never ran out of corn. Price go up. Price went up to where it was profitable for grain farmers. But guess what? American agriculture enjoyed the most profitable year ever in the history of American agriculture. Not just grain farmers, but ranchers, livestock producers, cattle producers, hog producers. Everybody enjoyed a robust economy.
What is the future? Obviously, everybody has pointed to cellulosic. Is that ultimately the future on biofuels?
Most likely. You got the biomass, which could be used, which can be converted. And, you know, you can make alcohol out of virtually any plant. It's how efficiently that you can break down those sugars and convert them to alcohol. And the enzyme companies and everyone else, once they're assured there's going to be a marketplace, entrepreneurship, innovation takes place. You know, 30-some years ago, the corn ethanol industry wasn't economically efficient. It wasn't energy efficient. But it took that investment, and because they had a market, they were able to make it efficient. And today it's the most efficient, cheapest fuel on the planet, cheapest fuel in the world. And, you know, we've come a long way. We can do it again.